Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. How can I keep going? Number one, be empowered. Number two, be established. Number three, be encouraged. He was a man of history and destiny, the man of his hour. Born in aristocracy, raised in prosperity, with the looks of a celebrity, and destined for world supremacy. At the age of 20, he was king of his country. At the age of 30, he was king of the world. He conquered two worlds, east and west, and brought all the spoils of war with him, all the riches of Greece, all the treasures of Egypt, all the gold of Babylon, all the abundance of Asia, all the prizes of Persia. His name was Alexander. They called him the Great. And people worshipped him. However, in his early 30s, he sat down and wept as a dejected man because there were no more worlds to conquer. He ruined his life with drink and with excess. He died of fever in his bed, and he left specific instructions concerning his funeral. His hands were to be unclenched and uncovered. It was to be a testimony to the world of the emptiness of power and of the poverty of his own soul. I remind you, not all that glitters is gold. Alexander, along with millions, including many in our day and generation, where leisure and pleasure and treasure are the gods of the age. I remind you, money will buy you anything except happiness. It'll take you anywhere except heaven. I remind you that power is a delusion. It is the chasing after the wind. And I remind you that if you are a child of God, born again of the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, assuring you that you are a child of God, then you need to remember the words of that old African blasphemer who became a wonderful Christian, John Newton. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasures, none but God's own people know. If you are a child of God, I remind you, you are rich indeed. Maybe not financially, maybe not physically, maybe not circumstantially, but spiritually, I remind you of what we've learned this week. You and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God, in the Trinity of his persons, in the councils of eternity past, set his love upon you, chose you. His Son agreed to come in time, to live the life you could never live, to die the death you deserve to die, to rise again for your justification, to become your great high priest. The Holy Spirit agreed in time past that in time he would open your eyes and stop your ears, quicken your heart, bring you from darkness to life, from the power of Satan unto God. I remind you, if you're feeling downcast, if you're in Christ, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you failed, you are the apple of his eye. You are the treasure of his heart. You are the object of his love. You are the subject of his grace from all eternity to all eternity. And the Apostle Paul, writing from a prison cell in Rome, writing to the Ephesians, and the spirit of prophecy, not just the spirit of power, but down the generations, he will know that men and women in their millions and in their billions will be blessed by him putting pen to paper, writing about the spiritual blessings which are ours in Christ Jesus. He writes this epistle. He's chained to a Roman soldier. I remind you, he's not just teaching, but he's praying. Twice in this epistle, we found the Apostle Paul in prayer. There are times when you open the scriptures and you know this is the sacred scriptures. If I could, I would say to you, we need to take the shoes off our feet, for the ground upon which we stand is holy ground. Here's the beloved Apostle Paul, chained to a Roman guard. He goes to his knees and he prays for the Ephesian Christians, and he prays for you and for me. Father, he prays, may your people be empowered. Father, he prays, may your people be established. Father, he prays, may your people be encouraged. For this reason, verse 14, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Father, there's no earthly father loves like thee, no mother e'er so mild, bears and forbears as you have done with me, your sinful child. The whole family of the redeemed bears your name. We are part of your family. You are our Father in heaven. And I pray for these Ephesian Christians that they would be empowered. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Father, would you make your people inwardly strong, spiritually strong, richer, deeper, stronger on the inside. I was with the young people last night. I told them I was getting a bit older. They still wanted me to dance. We may have had our day. One thing's for sure. If you're getting older, you know that it's very true what's written on a clock in Chester. As a child, I laughed and wept, and time crept. And as a youth, I played and talked, and time walked. And then I grew into a man, and time ran. Later, as I onward grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. If all your focus is on the outward and is on the physical, you and I are going to be very disappointed, that's for sure. And some of you young people, when you go into Top Man and they tell you what you really need to do is to look after the outward. Ladies, when you're going into Next and you're being told what you really need to do is look elegant and sophisticated and beautiful, nothing wrong with that, but I want to tell you, more important, far more important, is your inner being, is your inner man. The Apostle Paul will write elsewhere, the outward man perishes, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. I want your dunamis. I want that power, that mighty, irresistible power of God the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, to strengthen the inner being, the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What a wonderful word, that word dwell is. That Christ might live. That Christ might abide. That Christ may not be viewed as a visitor or an outsider, but that Christ might be welcome. I grew up in a rough part of Liverpool. Every Wednesday was Ballyhann Day. Ballyhann Day was the day when you had no money. And your mother would send you to the shop to get some meat on tick, some bacon and eggs on tick. Or she would send me across the road to my auntie Girlie, who wasn't my auntie. And I would have to go to her and say, Auntie Girlie, please, could we borrow half a crown or 10 shillings, which would have been 50 pence for you who are down there? And I would be embarrassed. Don't you be embarrassed, son. Your mother's the salt of the earth. I would walk in the parlor, and on the wall would be written these words. Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Oh, that Christ would dwell in our spiritual houses, that it would come into our minds, come into our wills, come into our affections, come into our emotions, come into our choices, come into our relationships. Some of you remember the days when you had no refrigerators. Some of you can remember when all the dirty washing went in the cubbyhole. And when someone important knocked on the door, your mother would quickly put all the dirty washing in the cubbyhole. The problem with that was, the outside in some of the rooms looked tidy, but there was a strange smell. No, clean up your life by allowing Christ to fill every part. May you be empowered by God the Holy Spirit in your inner being so that Christ can be a visitor. Not just a visitor, an abider. Not just an abider, a friend, someone who lives within you. Don't you love that hymn? May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything that I may be calm to comfort the sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. Father, empower your people. Friends, be empowered by the Holy Spirit and let Christ dwell in your heart by faith in every corner of your heart. Number two, Father, establish your people. Friends, be established. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Father, would you establish the believers there in Ephesus, the believers down the ages? Friends at Keswick, will you be established? I love the words which are used here. Rooted, that's a good word. It's an agricultural word. Dig deep, put your roots down deep. In July 2014, as a result of some DNA testing, the oldest tree in Britain was discovered. It was in St. Synog's in Powys in Wales. It is 5,000 years old. Think about that for a minute. Have you ever been to Wales? It's a bit like Scotland and the Lake District. Every time I seem to go there, it rains. However, think about this tree. The wind has howled against it. The storms have come. The lightning has flashed. The thunder has clasped. Anything and everything that has been coming against this tree, it has withstood every trial, every storm, because its roots are deep. I pray that you being rooted deep in your roots in Christ and established, that's an architectural word, isn't it? With a deep, strong foundation. On the 6th of December in 2013, Steve and Jackie Connolly went for a walk. They lived in Norfolk. The newspaper tells us that when they came back from their walk, their house had been destroyed. Can you imagine that? The worst storms to hit Britain. This house in Hemsby came off the cliff and onto the shore. Oh, how we need to dig deep for our foundations in our life. We need deep and strong foundations. Oh, that you might be rooted and established. But what in? In love. In love. What did our Lord Jesus Christ say? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Yes, in the love of God, but not just the love for God, but the love of God towards others also, and may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I like that other word, grasp. That you may grasp, that you may comprehend, that you may lay hold of how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of God. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, I want you to grasp the love of God in Christ. How wide and long and high and deep is that love? Oh, believer, you are loved. You are loved with a love that surpasses knowledge. The deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Someone wrote, the true measure of God's love is that he loves without measure. Isn't that beautiful? The true measure of God's love is that he loves without measure. Horatio Bonner said, oh, love of God, how strong and true, eternal, yet forever new, uncomprehended and unbought, beyond all knowledge and all thought. But not just grasping, but being filled, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Honestly, friends, we could spend months on this passage alone. What a statement. Father, says Paul, praying for the Ephesians, praying for Christians down the ages, that believers would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I don't know if you have been along to the youth work. The young people have been brilliant And they've been led brilliantly too. But they do put you through some difficult situations. You arrive there last night and there's a beach. And you have to build 2 sandcastles. The beach. And they have some water fights that are going on. They're supposed to be in Copacabana or whatever it was. I want you to come with me this evening. We're going to leave Keswick. We're going to go on an aeroplane. And we're going to go to somewhere like Hawaii. Are you with me? Palm trees. Wonderful. And what's more, we're going to go to the edge of the shore. And there's the Pacific Ocean. 63.8 million square miles. Vast. 46% of the Earth's whole surface. It's 14,000 feet deep. It will stretch from Asia to Australia and to America. And here you and I, we're going to put our big toe in it. But what's happening is because we're somewhere in Hawaii, the sun is burning down. So we think we're going to take a dip. And here we are. We're going to dip into this vast, deep ocean. Oh, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, that we might dive into the ocean of His love. Oh, that we might be filled. My wife always tells me that I'm boring when it comes to films. I like cowboy films and I like war films. I like the stories of the U-boats, how the U-boats used to go deep into the water and how the depth that they went to was because of the water they allowed in so that they could go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. We need to know that power of His love and grace by His Spirit filling us to the measure of the fullness of God. Father, establish your people. Be established, rooted, established, grasping the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of God that surpasses knowledge, and be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Number 3, be encouraged. Here's the apostle chained to the Roman soldier. What would that Roman soldier think? Maybe he was converted by this prayer. But listen to how he ends this prayer. He ends with a doxology. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen. Be encouraged. Now to Him. Actually, we could have a whole sermon on that. To Him, the living God, and in the person of His Son, who is altogether lovely, the fairest among 10,000, the creator and sustainer of the universe, to Him who is able. Of course, He is able. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. But it's not just able. It gets higher and higher and higher and higher. I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, he's just a scallywag from Liverpool. You're right. Do you know that Liverpool people like music? Have you heard of John, George, Paul, and Ringo? They dominated the musical charts for years and years and years. Of course, when you're in such an august company like this, you need to remind folk that also Sir Simon Rattle, who at age 13 conducted a philharmonic orchestra, who has conducted wonderful orchestras throughout the world. And you know, both the Beatles and Simon Rattle knew the power of moving onto crescendo. And here's the Apostle Paul in prayer now to him who is able to do. He's an active God. He's a living God. Immeasurably. He is ageless and timeless and deathless and changeless and limitless. He is the infinite, eternal one, without limitation, without boundary, without measurement. Him able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask. John Newton, you are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Be encouraged. Him able to do immeasurably more than all you ask. But it's not just that. And think. He knows our thoughts. He knows our dreams. Oh, this is limitless love and limitless power. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love the story of Philip Bliss. He was a poet and a teacher. He was a musician and an evangelist. He lived till he was 38 years of age. In the very last year of his life, almost one of the very last things he did is he went to a prison and he preached the gospel to prisoners, hard, tough prisoners. After some time, he felt he was getting nowhere. So he began to sing, "Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim." Hallelujah. What a Savior. The last verse says, "When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, the song of the ages. Hallelujah, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen." How can you go on? Be empowered. Be established. And be encouraged. Let us pray. Father, we are overwhelmed at the immensity of your grace and mercy towards us in Christ. We are overwhelmed at the sense that unsearchable riches are credited to our account, that we are loved so much. Grant, O Lord, we pray by your Spirit that you would fill us anew, empower us and establish us and encourage us as we continue through these shadowlands until we reach the glory land. For we ask this in the peerless, wonderful, glorious, and precious name of Jesus. Amen.